And so in last week's conversation, if you remember, we talked about all things exist in relationship and how that is the pathway to unity consciousness, the bridge, right? That if we can really get this, if we can really get this into our heart, that we exist in relationship, then the vision of oneness will become self-evident and obvious very quickly. And then we won't have to work for it, right? It will be presenting itself to us all the time. And that's what we want, right? That's fourth density consciousness. So I want to take this deeper for you, and I'll start with this point. Let's have a different view of this term we use called enlightenment. You know, fourth density consciousness is enlightenment, just another term for it, but it's a specific point of view on enlightenment. When we hear that word, for most of us, our mind thinks of the Buddha comes up right away, sitting in a lotus, you know, position under a tree, meditating in perfect silence. And we're like, oh yeah, that's very far off from where I'm at. Not at the Buddha's level yet. So let's just scrub that view of enlightenment for a second. I don't know what enlightenment is. I've never heard that word. What is this word, enlightenment? And so let's use last week's conversation to yet another bridge, and let's see enlightenment as making every relationship loving. Enlightenment is making every relationship we are in a loving relationship. That's all it is. Not so complicated and not so far away, right? Can I just practice making every relationship I'm in loving? Yeah, it doesn't sound so hard. And it's not, right? Because if you want it more than anything else, it will start happening. You'll just start wanting to notice the parts of you that are unloving in any moment. But so let's look at relationship a little bit deeper, right? I want to also introduce this point of view or concept that I think will be helpful for ingraining this a little more, which is seeing Christ, the Christ in us, as the learner. Christ as the learner. So what I mean by this is that it is ultimately the Christ in us that is learning this thought system of truth, of love, that is remembering what it really is. It's not the ego that learns how to be Christ-like. The ego is just a different thought system that loses significance and dissolves over time. We don't turn the ego into the Christ. The ego doesn't learn that it is the Christ because the ego isn't an entity, right? It's a function. So we have to ask the question, what is it in me that is learning these truths and remembering them and embodying them and working towards integrating them and practicing them? Of course, it's God, right? God is the only real substance of you. So God is the experiencer of all. God is the doer of all. God is the one who is collecting all the data in the universe. Yeah? So Christ is the learner. The Christ in you is what is learning how to be loving, how to see all things as relationship. And what I mean by this is I like to use the analogy of mushrooms. Some of you have heard me tell this before, that there's the famous case of Tokyo, Japan. They were trying to reconfigure their subway system underground, and there's so many cities and pathways between each city that the Japanese engineers were having trouble like figuring out the most efficient route of a subway station from all the different cities, right? And they kept running into problems. So one of them had an idea: let's create a replica of Tokyo. Let's create that in the soil, in the dirt, and then let's put some psilocybin mushrooms in there, and then let the mushrooms, mycelium, chart their way, the most efficient path to get to each spot, right? And of course, the mushrooms did, and the Japanese engineers were amazed, and they went, wow, this is brilliant, this is perfect. And so they just made the exact Tokyo subway station like the mushrooms did in their replica. So the mushrooms taught them how to make the most efficient subway system, yeah? And you can do this experiment with mushrooms. You can create sort of mazes or traps for them, and the mycelium will find the most efficient way out of that trap or that maze. They're incredibly intelligent, right? So think about the Christ in you like that, that it is this infinite potential of intelligence and light and love, but God is playing this kind of hide and seek game with itself. So the Christ is the part of you that is God, that has retained all of its qualities, all of its eternal essence is unchanged, right? But it just cut off its memory from itself. And so now we are like, the Christ in you is like that mycelium that's finding the most efficient way out of this illusion. God has placed the Christ in this maze of illusion. And the Christ intelligence, the Christ nature in you is right now finding the most efficient pathway out of that illusion of separation and back to the source. Yeah. And so love is like the light that illuminates the pathway for the Christ to find its way out of darkness. Yeah. The more we shine love from our essence, from our being, the more light we give to our Christ nature to remember, to awaken, to become self-actualized and find its way out of the illusion. So what we said last week and the week before is that you awaken the Christ in you by being the Christ. Yeah? You can only be the Christ. This is what Ramana Maharshi said as well. When asked, how do I realize the self? Ramana would say, you can't realize the self. You can only be the self. And once you practice being the self, that will lead to what we could call realization. So we awaken the Christ by being the Christ. So then how do we be the Christ? And what we said last week is we be the Christ by giving the Christ. This is the path of service to others in the Law of One. This is forgiveness in A Course in Miracles. We share our Christ nature with others in order to be that nature, right? Because the nature of God is like the sun. The sun is always shining, always emanating light. So it's like, how could you tell the sun to shine, right? It's already shining. The sun can't shine any more than it's already shining. So that's the nature of love. It's always outward giving, outward pouring, right? Radiating. So how can you be the Christ if you're not radiating? You have to radiate the Christ to be the Christ. Our problem is the ego tricks us into trying to keep the Christ for ourselves, right? I want to be free of suffering. So all I have to do is realize my Christ nature. Oh, and then I can be free. Okay, I am the Christ. I am the Christ. Hey, get out of my way, man. I'm walking here. I am the Christ. I am the Christ. Hey, I was in line first, lady. I am the Christ. I am the Christ. You see how we do that? And now that's an exaggerated, you know, demonstration of it. But isn't that what we do? We still live selfishly, right? We're not seeing love in everyone. We're not giving love to everyone. And then we're trying to become enlightened in here so we can get free of suffering. And it's all selfish. So we need to want freedom, as A Course in Miracles says. You have to want freedom for the sake of the world. You have to want freedom so that you can be the savior. Because for whatever reason, it isn't enough motivation for your mind to go beyond itself to just say, I want to be enlightened for me. I want to be enlightened so I can be free. It's not enough motivation to truly get beyond yourself. You have to say, I want to be free so I can set everyone else free. For the freedom of all living beings, I want to be enlightened. My enlightenment is the illumination of the world. When that's your motivation, oh boy, strap in your seatbelt, buckle up. Enlightenment's coming fast. The Christ in you is in this experience right now of finding its way out of the illusion of separation back into the light of love from whence it came. Yeah. We teach that Christ to ourselves by being the Christ. So I want to talk a little more about how do we be the Christ? How do we share the Christ? We've used this concept, we hear this word a lot, loving awareness, right? Well, what we need to understand about that term, loving awareness, is what it means is that love is the only way to truly have awareness. Love leads to true awareness. Awareness is your ultimate relationship to everything. Your awareness, your observing of anything, is your ultimate relationship to it. You are in relationship all the time because of awareness, yeah? subject, object. So we can say the final evidence, right? The final nail in the coffin. If your ego has any remaining doubt about unity and oneness, the final nail in the coffin, the inescapable fact of reality is that you are in constant relationship, whether you like it or not, because you are observing reality and you can't stop. You can't shut off your awareness, right? Whether you like it or not, and trust me, you can like it a lot. You are observing everything you experience, and that is your relationship to it. This is what the Course in Miracles talks about. The way you perceive anything shows you how much you have come to know the Christ in you. The more lovingly you see everything, the more you've realized your Christ nature. The more separate and, you know, fearful what you see is, the less you've realized your Christ nature. It's that simple. So if you're not observing something with love, you're not observing it truly. Loving awareness is the true nature of awareness. Nisargadatta called it affectionate awareness. Some of you know. To look on anything with love, with full acceptance of who this person is, that's what allows you to see the Christ in them. Their true divine essence begins to shine forth when, despite what they may be doing, despite how unconscious they may be in this moment, can I just look at this person with love? And all of a sudden, a flash of insight, you recognize something eternal in them that you share together. And boom, the heart's activated. And then you feel this magnetic pull. And from that place, you resolve whatever issues you've been having. You apologize. You say sorry. You tell the truth. You be honest. You become vulnerable for the first time. You know, that's where the magic happens. That's where the miracle happens. And I'm going to read this line from A Course of Love that talks about this. It says, expressing who you are in physical form will return the remembrance to the minds of those who observe your expression. Wow. Expressing the Christ in human form will return remembrance to the minds of those who observe your expression. So when other people observe you being loving, being open, being forgiving, being compassionate, being kind, being patient, you're activating their Christ memory. You're helping their mycelium path its way out of their illusion up here. Yeah. It says, further, your observance of your brothers and sisters will return remembrance to your mind and heart as well, which is what we just said. It is, in fact, your observance of the truth of your brothers and sisters that is the miracle we have stated is our new goal. And guess what? That doesn't require anything of you. It just requires you to be present and to look with love. And that's the miracle. So if that's the miracle, if loving awareness leads us to this state that we call wholeheartedness from A Course of Love, wholeheartedness is when the mind and the heart have joined. Loving awareness is the bridge to wholeheartedness. We said everything exists in relationship is the bridge to absolute oneness, to seeing oneness all the time. Well, this is the bridge to wholeheartedness. Practice looking on everything with love. And let's go deeper into this. Here's why. Ready? The reason that you can't gain distance from your mental habits, the reason that you have so much trouble gaining distance from your ego so that when it speaks, you're not just drawn in right away. And there you go, off to the races, back into a pattern, back into a reaction. The reason you have trouble observing those thoughts before they grab you is because you're not looking on them with love. Remember, we said enlightenment is making every relationship loving. That's it. So every relationship means every relationship. Yeah. Every thought you think is a relationship. What's your relationship going to be to that thought? Well, if you haven't practiced looking on all your thoughts with love and forgiveness, then guess what? You're going to either cling to that thought or resist it. You're going to identify or be afraid of it. Both are identifying, right? But you're going to say, yes, I want that. That's me. Or you're going to say, oh, I hate this part of me so much. Why won't you just go away? You're going to do one of those two things if you're not loving. So if you're not seeing your thoughts with love, those are your only two default options. You're going to go one, your mind's going to go one way or the other. So how do we gain that distance from ego such that when it speaks, when it tries to drive us into a reaction, we have space in us. There's a stillness and a presence that meets it with light and says, ah, hold on there a minute. We're here to make every relationship a loving relationship. So because that thought's not a loving thought, I'm not going to give that my attention anymore. And you replace it with a loving thought, yeah? All we have to do is practice loving our thoughts, forgiving our thoughts, and you will notice such a new distance between you and those patterns when they arise. Love creates distance between you and what you observe. Just breathe that in for a second. Love creates distance between you and what you observe. Now, I know some of your minds are probably thinking, wait a minute, love brings in and joins. It doesn't create distance. Here's what I mean. By loving whatever you observe, seeing it with compassion, it stops the mind from the grasping and resisting, right? Because grasping and resisting, both of those are unloving actions. Both of those are an unloving relationship. Let's say it that way. So when you have practiced this ability to just be loving as your default, whatever thought arises, you just, that's okay. It's okay you think that, mind. Doesn't mean it's true, but I don't judge you for that thought. It's all good in love, right? You've practiced this. Well, now you've stopped your mind from being able to grasp or resist whatever thoughts are arising, because love doesn't grasp or resist. Love allows everything space to be exactly as it is. Yeah? Love allows everything to be exactly as it is. So when you're loving your thoughts, you're giving them space. You're holding space for your thoughts. That's the distance that you need to not get sucked into the pattern every time. Affectionate awareness. So when the mind and heart are joined, there's no space for illusion to last, right? When the mind and the heart haven't been joined yet, when you're not looking on everything you're observing with love, then we could say ego fills that gap with illusions. But the closer the mind and heart come together to where everything you see is being endowed with compassion, with love, the closer the mind and heart are, the less room illusion has to reign. The less room you've given for illusions to play out. And so the final end of illusions is when loving awareness becomes your default. This is Christ vision, yeah? Wholeheartedness, all synonyms. When the mind and heart are finally joined, meaning awareness and love are joined into loving awareness, masculine and feminine have found unity within us. And we know that's what kicks off Kundalini. That's what leads to enlightenment. Everything we're looking for is joining our mind and heart. Mind-heart coherence, the I am state, Christ vision, wholeheartedness, fourth density consciousness. All these terms are synonyms for this one thing. So I'll read this last line and then we'll jump into our questions for today. A mind and heart joined in unity observes the truth where once the mind and heart separated by illusion observed illusion. A mind and heart joined in unity observe the truth where the mind used to observe illusion. It will seem at first as if you are asked to deny the facts that you see before you in order to observe something. This is always the rebuttal, right? The mind will say, well, I can't just love a murderer while they're murdering. I have to go stop them, right? I can't just observe everything with love and allow people to do evil to each other. And obviously that's not what we're saying. We're saying while you're seeking to bring justice, truth, correction, help, healing, you do it with love in your heart. That's so complicated. You just don't put anyone or anything out of your heart. You must constantly remember that your observance is now an act of worship and devotion, and that you are called to observe the truth rather than illusion, no matter how real illusion may still seem to be. The way I look at anything is the way I'm worshiping the Creator in this moment. Why? Because it's all the Creator. It's all God. So if you're looking on something with judgment and with anger and with resentment or resistance, you're hating, judging, and resenting and resisting the Creator. You just haven't seen the Creator truly in this form yet, right? So you need to see truly is the only problem. You must constantly remember that your observance is now an act of worship and devotion, and that you are called to observe the truth rather than illusion, no matter how real illusion may still seem to be. So that's where I always say, you don't need to wait till you feel loving to start being loving, right? You don't need to wait till you feel joyful and blissful to start loving. You don't need to wait on your feelings for anything, right? Because the proof of love is in the loving, right? In the doing, in the giving, in the sharing of it. So it's like, yeah, if you got a bunch of bitterness in your heart, no problem. Just go love and serve someone with all that bitterness right there. No problem. You don't have to feel great about it. Maybe your mind is complaining and hating this idea the whole way through. I don't want to serve this jerk. They don't deserve my kindness. They've been rude to me. Whatever, we're still going to serve them. You just go through it. Just put your ego through the fire of love, right? What it says is when you do that, that's your act of worship to God. Imagine if you were cast into the pits of hell and you're surrounded by demons who are about to consume you, right? And in that moment of seeming fear and terror, your heart cried out to God and said, I worship you, Creator. You are all that is. There is no separation from you. Even though I be in the pits of hell, you are here with me. You are here in me. We are one. You cried out to God in that moment. What an amazing act of worship that would be. Wouldn't that be the most beautiful demonstration of devotion that you could ever give? Well, guess what? You have that opportunity to worship God like that in every moment where you feel bitterness rise up in you, in every moment where you feel resentment or guilt or whatever, and you say, no, I still choose to love and serve. I still choose to serve my Creator in this moment by loving this person right in front of me. Yeah, they just betrayed me. Yeah, they just stabbed me in the back. Yeah, they just said a rude comment. And even still, I will worship you. I'm here to be the savior of the world. I'm not here for myself. I'm not here to get some quick pleasure before my death approaches. I'm not here to fulfill a bunch of unmet egoic desires. I'm here to be of service to the world because that's how I remember who I am. That's your function, guys. That's your purpose in this life. And it's the greatest purpose that you could ever imagine. You can't even imagine it until you start experiencing it. Until you just start living in service to others. You just start sharing your Christ nature. You just make every relationship a loving one. No matter how bitter your ego is, no matter how many grievances your ego is holding, you just say, it's okay, I'll choose love anyway. You want to talk about activating love faster than you can snap your fingers? That will do it. When you can praise even in the darkness, when you can seek the light even in the darkness, there's no greater way to gain polarity. That's why souls come here to third density, right? Where it's so difficult here. There's so much negativity here. The souls come here to find God in this environment, and that's why they polarize so much. It's really hard to polarize that much in the fifth density where everyone's enlightened and everyone knows oneness already. So we have this great opportunity, right, to gain tremendous spiritual evolution in this life if we can just start practicing this one simple practice. Make every relationship loving. And in doing that, we are joining mind and heart. We are becoming wholehearted again as we do that. Hey everyone, thank you for watching today's video. I hope that you were truly blessed by it. And I wanted to let you know that I'm really excited to now be partnering with an amazing conscious supplement company called Organifi. A lot of you know that I'm also passionate about holistic health and nutrition, and Organifi has been a staple in my daily health routine for a very long time. They make the most delicious, organic, and high-quality superfood products that I've ever come across. And as you know, a healthy body is a great benefit for spiritual growth, because the health of your body directly translates to the health of your mind. Everything is connected. So feeding your body with high vibrational superfoods straight from the earth is one of the best ways to create that environment for a healthy mind. But getting all the superfoods that your body needs in one day, can admittedly be a little bit tough. And that is where Organifi can add a ton of value to your life. I personally start every day off with green, which is Organifi's really delicious blend of 11 superfoods like ashwagandha, chlorella, and moringa. And then in the middle of the day, I'll usually have a scoop of red, which is a delicious energy blend full of 13 adaptogens and antioxidants from berries to recharge your mind and body with a delicious blend of organic superfoods. Your body is an amazing organic machine, but it needs the right fuel and signals to function at its best. And red is full of adaptogens sourced from organic herbs and medicinal mushrooms. And these are compounds that balance hormones, prime your energy pathways, and alleviate stress. So instead of crushing your adrenal system with huge doses of caffeine every day, adaptogens work with your body and give you natural, sustained energy all throughout the day. What's most important to me though about Organifi is the way that they go above and beyond to ensure the cleanest and purest ingredients in all of their products. They are USDA certified organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, certified glyphosate-free, and absolutely zero fillers. So I never go anywhere without Organifi and I never miss a day without taking it. And Organifi is offering a super generous discount of 20% off of your entire order when you use the coupon code ABKEY at checkout. So if you want to upgrade your health regimen with Organifi, you can click on the link in the description box below to learn more about all the amazing products that they offer. And I promise you that your mind and your body are going to thank you for it.